Words have the power to decide your fate. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the power that words hold. Here are just some facts on words. There are over 700,000 words in the English language. That's more than any other language in the world. The average pencil will write about 50,000 English words. The King James Bible contains 773,746 words. Normally, a person speaks 26,800 words per day, enough to fill up a 500-page book each week. The average person uses over 700 million words in a lifetime of 75 years. That's a lot of words. That is a lot of words. Words are important. Proverbs 18:21 reads, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." How many of you are familiar with the saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me"? I think we've all heard that at one point in our lives. But have you ever stopped to think about how true that might be? Maybe it's not true at all. How easy is it for you to recover from bruises left by sticks and stones compared to how easy it is to recover from somebody's words hurting your feelings? Now, words have great power. If you'd like to get a head start, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 reads, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light." Now, it doesn't say that God said, "Let there be light," and then something else happened, and light was created. God said, "Let there be light," and it just was. Verse 9, "Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." Verses 14 and 15, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth. And it was so." Verse 24, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so." Verse 30, "Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every herb for food. And it was so." Now, in these verses, God's creating the earth. But notice how He does it. The only action God takes is speaking. God's words made light appear. God's words drew the waters into one place. God's words put the stars in the sky, created the animals on the earth, and created the food for the animals on the earth. So here we see that words have great power. And with this power, words can change you physically. We're going to jump now to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, the first 8 verses. Verse 1, "So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven.' And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now the multitude saw it. They marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. In this passage, some men bring a crippled man to Jesus. And Jesus tells him to get up and to take his mat and to go home. Now this man couldn't walk. I can't imagine lying on a mat, probably outside of some door, begging for some money every day of my life. And then all of a sudden, one day, one man telling me to get up and walk. I wouldn't believe that it was as simple as that. But then the Bible says that that man got up and walked. Now, Jesus didn't walk over and perform some miracle cure. Jesus told him to arise. Jesus' words had power enough to heal the cripple. Then again in Matthew 9:22, but Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Now that passage was about a woman who had been bleeding inside for several years. And she told herself that if she could only touch Jesus, then she would be healed. Well, when she touched Jesus, he turned around and saw her, and he said to her that her faith had made her well, and she was made well. Jesus didn't touch her. Jesus didn't cut her open and fix whatever was wrong. He just told her that she was well, and she was. Mark chapter 11, verses 13 through 20. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who had bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves? Verse 18, and the scribes and chief priests heard about it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Jesus was hungry, so he went to see if he could find some figs on a fig tree. When he didn't find any, he cursed the fig tree with words. He didn't take a knife and cut it down, or an axe, or whatever they had to work with. He didn't set it on fire. He told it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the fig tree died. Luke chapter 7 will be our next passage. Verses 11 through 17. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went through all Judea and all the surrounding region. So not only does Jesus' words have the power to heal people physically or to dry out plants from the roots, they also carry the power to raise people from the dead. I'm sure we're all familiar with the passage in John. John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forward, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." So Jesus didn't just raise one kid from the dead with words. Jesus didn't just heal one person physically with words. Now, I don't know about you, but those seem like some pretty powerful words to me. Jesus doesn't sound like the character I'd like to mess around with. Sounds to me I'd like to get things right from the start. Because when Jesus says something, it happens. And Jesus' words can decide my fate. But not only can words change you physically, they can change you spiritually. I've got some passages for those of you taking notes if you want them. Matthew 27, 11 through 26. Mark 15, 1 through 15. Luke 23, 18 through 25. John 19, 14 through 16. All four of those passages say the same thing. They say that Jesus was taken before Pilate. Pilate found nothing wrong with him and wanted to release him. But the people said, "Crucify him." Now, they didn't take him from Pilate's hands and crucify him themselves. Pilate sent him to be crucified to satisfy the people. The people said, "Crucify him." And it was so. I'd like to jump back now to the Old Testament. Jonah chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water." Verse 8. "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and will turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Verse 10, "Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." Jonah one nobody to the city of Nineveh, walked into Nineveh, and said, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. After saying this, his words caused the people of Nineveh to repent. The Bible says they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster he was going to send upon Nineveh. You can turn with me now if you'd like to 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 14. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is to this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall anyone like you arise after you." Verse 13, "And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Now here, Solomon asks the Lord for an understanding heart, and the Lord gives it to him. And the Lord says, "I will give you what you have not asked." And the Lord said, "If you walk in my ways like David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Now we've seen several examples that anytime God says something, it's pretty important and it happens. So, what words will you hear come Judgment Day? Will Jesus tell you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Or will he say to you, "Depart from me, for I never knew you"? Will you be embracing him as your Savior? Or will you be among the crowd that's crying, "Crucify again"? Words are powerful. They're powerful enough to decide your fate. If you're not a Christian, maybe you've heard God's words and you've decided that you don't need to continue living the way you've been living. Maybe you think that you need to come forward and say to God that he can come into your heart. Maybe you're a Christian and the Lord has said to you that you need to repent or be destroyed. I don't know what your situation is tonight, and I can't even begin to fathom it. But we have heard some pretty powerful words. I appreciate Kim Hall for being here this morning and the lessons he brought. And we don't need to believe the men in the white coats, the scientists, on everything. We have God's Word. We have what God said. And what God says is pretty powerful. If you have any need tonight, whether it be to ask the prayers of the congregation, maybe you need to come forward to say that you want to be baptized. Whatever the need, we urge you to come while we stand and sing.